And now, a talk by Father Ralph, given on December 11, 2024 at Advent Prayer. His topic, Pain and Hope in a Time of Change and Transition.
Things are going to be very different around here, said the owner of the animal stable in Bethlehem. First, we're going to have to empty that food trough so that after this woman gives birth, she can use it for a bassinet. A little while later, a bunch of shepherds are going to show up, and I hope they don't bring their sheep in here and mix them up with our sheep. I also hear that a kid with a drum is showing up. I don't know why anyone would think this is a good idea. It's going to spook all the animals who are going to be nervous enough with the baby and the couple and all that, and shepherds. Not to mention, I suspect the mother isn't going to be all that happy about some kid banging on a drum right after she's given birth. One thing I know is that things aren't going to be the same around here, and it ain't going to be a silent night. If only the workers in the stable would have gotten that kind of advance notice, it would have made things a bit easier. But they got no notice. Things change without their permission or participation, and change can be messy. As Mary found out when she tried to tell everyone that she was pregnant because of her encounter with an angel, obviously Joseph didn't believe her, and one wonders what her parents thought. And perhaps she leaves town to visit Elizabeth as much because she needed to get away from the town folks' mean talk as much as she wanted to go help her cousin. And it always strikes me when I read Luke's gospel that after Mary says yes to God's imaginative and seemingly preposterous plan to save the world, that the angel left her. She was left. She was left changed. And with a private pain no one else could understand. That's the challenge of change. Every change involves some sort of pain. Think of the pain of birth itself. There you are, all dark and warm and comfortable and safe in your mother's womb, and the next thing you know, you're being squeezed out into another world with cold air and searing light and noisy screams, screams of birth and screams of joy. But you don't know the difference. You hardly know how to breathe. But breathe you must, and your lungs do something they never had to do before. And no one asked you whether you wanted this or not. And if they had, you would have sought at least another 9 months in that dark, warm, muffled world. Except that your mother would have none of that. Now, of course, if I was a mother, I would have described the pain of birth from my own maternal perspective, but I dare not presume to even begin to know what the pain of giving birth is like. But every change involves some pain. Think of the pain of potty training. There you are, comfortably doing your thing in your diapers, and those big people service you, no matter how frequent your gifts. But now imagine this. Imagine this. They want you to go to the bathroom and climb up on that seat, and I don't care how much they praise you for being a big boy now or a big girl now, you are responsible for your own, well, you know. And that change was painful, and you helped make that painful for your parents by being stubborn. No! Oh, how you perfected that word when you were 2 or 3. Every change involves some sort of pain, and I will not continue to go down the memory lane of childhood with the reminiscence of having to change from one grade to another, from one school to another, from one height to another, from one crush to another, for fear that instead of moving along with me tonight, you will be entangled in all the painful antiquities of your past changes. But suffice it to say, every change involves some pain. Which brings me to 12 years ago. It was announced that Father Jerry would no longer be your pastor, and some strange and unknown man named Ralph would instead sit in the priest's chair and bury the dead and anoint the sick and forgive sins and preach and teach and reach out to the people who were Father Jerry's friends and helpers. Staff members would wonder if they would still have a job, and if so, what would change? The thought of it was at least uncomfortable, if not somewhat painful. Of course, this Ralph had to face the pain of change too. I had been pastor of St. Bridget's for 12 years, and over that time, I found new friendships and family, and I worked with a team of staff members and parish volunteers who thought they could do no better than to have me as their pastor. And I was going to have to leave the manageable chaos that was St. Bridget's to enter into a new place where naturally I would be scrutinized and compared and judged. Painful doubts such as, would I fit in? Would I be accepted? No, the deeper question would be, would I be liked? And maybe even deeper still, could I be loved? After all, the only thing I'd have to show in my life at the end of 12 years is what I did and who I was for 12 years. Would it matter that I was a pastor? Would I matter? And may I bring to your attention that somewhere out there, right now, is another priest who will begin to ask the same questions when at some point he hears, you are being assigned to the pastorate of St. Bernard's in Levittown. The only additional question he will be asking is, how the heck do I follow Ralph? Now, in the face of the pain of change comes another factor. It's called hope. Hope is an expectation and anticipation that is based on what we believe. Let me say that again. Hope is an expectation and an anticipation that is based on what we believe. May I demonstrate this with a little melody? Hope is an expectation and an anticipation that is based on what we believe. If you believe that that melody is an indication that ice cream is near, you will be filled with hope. Do you know that some mean parents told their children that that sound meant they were out of ice cream? True. And thus, it elicited no hope in those youngsters. How about this sound? Anything? Probably not. You don't associate this sound with any belief. Thus, when you hear it, no expectations. No anticipation, no hope. So what does this teach us? Hope is based on past experience. It's not about wishing. You know, we use the word hope every day when we really mean wish. I hope you have a good day. Or we use it when we mean want. Like when a kid says, I hope I get that SoCal flyer I've been wanting. It's a bike. A $600 bike. Hope is also not a feeling, as in, I'm feeling hopeful that the change in pastors will be a good one. Hope is a way of thinking based on this. I've been through this before, and I can get through it again. For long-time parishioners, you've seen priests come and go, and you've survived. Even thrived when a new priest comes along. And even if you didn't thrive during his tenure, you waited it out and thrived with the next one. Now, the problem with being a kid is that you haven't been through this before. Kids who are younger than 14 don't know what it's like to not have me as their pastor? Well, they're about to find out. But one of the most important things is that they won't go through this alone. You see, hope is a social gift, isn't it? Our connectedness with each other is the best single predictor of hope. I hope for ice cream when I hear that ice cream truck music because I learned that from others, not only from grown-ups, but from other kids. Kids can be social creators of hope, too. I don't experience hope when I hear that other music because no one has taught me what to associate it with. We were taught to have hope by others when we hear this. Oh, it's time for church. Because hope is social, we also discover what hopes we can realistically expect to be fulfilled. You know, I hope, that I love it when people come to pray at Mass. And when I see someone I haven't seen in a while, I say, oh, I hope you'll come and pray with us. And then the person says, you know, I'll come this weekend, I promise. And then they don't come. And they don't even say why they couldn't come. I try not to stop hoping, but sometimes that's hard. On the other hand, when someone says, I'll come over tomorrow to help set up, and they actually fulfill their promise, then it's easier to hope. And do you know who always fulfills a promise? God? Didn't we just hear God say through the prophet Jeremiah, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah is so sure that God is going to keep God's promise that he tells people to grow your families, be successful, build. That's what hope helps us to do. But if we don't have hope, if we don't involve our families in growing in faith, if we stop being successful in coming to church or serving the community, we stop building, we stop growing. Some people might say that the opposite of hope is despair, but really, the opposite of hope is apathy. We just stop doing. We just don't care as much anymore. When I leave and Deacon John leaves and Father Innocent leaves and Mary Jane leaves, I doubt there'll be a temptation to despair. But I do think, though, that the devil will tempt you to apathy. Things aren't like what they used to be with Father Ralph or Mary Jane, with Father Innocent or Deacon John. Oh, well. Pope Francis says, we sin against hope when we remain anchored in the past. And among the sins against hope, he lists bad nostalgia, melancholy, thinking that past happiness is gone forever, and as he puts it, when the autumn in us cancels out the spring, when God's love ceases to be an eternal fire, and when we do not have the courage to make decisions that commit us for a lifetime. See, hope is a decision. It's a decision to see the future as challenging, not threatening. It's the belief that the future will actually be better than today and that you have the power to make it so. For you to have hope for yourself, your family, this country, this parish, you must set goals. And the goals must come from imagination, imagination of how things could be. For imagination is an instrument of hope. Yet the goals must be realistic, else it's wishful thinking or false hope. And the more we desire realistic goals, the more we can face adversity and try to overcome that adversity. Well, let me finish with the goal of the gospel passage we heard. There was one person with a clear goal and a clear hope. That was the vineyard owner. And what did he hope for? That all his crops would be collected by the end of the day. So what did he do? He hired people in the morning, people in the daytime, people in the afternoon. And when it looked like there were still more crops, he hired more people at the end of the day, and he was willing to pay generously to accomplish his goal. Those hired first got a full day's pay, but were verklempt because those hired last got the same pay. Why should they care? Everybody went home with money. Nobody was cheated. Well, the goal, the mission of our parish is, with faith, hope, and love, the people of St. Bernard's Parish seek to bring the gospel of Jesus to the Levittown community and beyond. And some people have been doing that for years. They've worked all day long. But when the transition here happens, new people will be joining those who have been hard at work all day long. And the temptation will be to allow feelings of hurt to creep in. Don't the new leaders recognize that I have been serving this parish all day long? Who are these latecomers, and why are they being asked to be involved? We all say we want new people to get involved, so we, the same people, aren't always doing the work. But when transition happens, watch out. We might only reluctantly accept the newbies, or even worse, we might start to walk away ourselves. Have you noticed how many families now come to church each weekend? Okay, so maybe a motivating factor is that they have to turn in mass attendance cards. But the challenge will be that when May and June come around, they'll find other things to do on a Sunday morning, and by the time a new pastor comes to sit in my chair, there'll be many empty seats. Why? Maybe I have failed to inspire them to embrace the goal of encountering Jesus as a church community gathered around the Eucharist, not inspiring them to realize how essential their active participation is to each other and to Jesus himself. In my remaining 6.5 months here, I will continue to work toward cultivating a passion for encounter, building communion and unity with one another, and finding Jesus in unique ways and putting him as the center of everything. Why will I keep trying? Because I have hope. Do you have hope? Hope is the belief that your future will be better than today and that you have the power to make it so. Have the courage to make decisions that will commit you for a lifetime. Decide, and then get busy.
You have been listening to a talk by Father Ralph, given on December 11, 2024 at Advent Prayer. His topic was, Pain and Hope in a Time of Change and Transition. Please click on the link to give your feedback on this talk.